Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read beginning with verse 19 and read down through verse 26. We're going to focus this morning on verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Again, I want to call your attention to verse 21, and I'm going to use that for the title for the message this morning, To Live is Christ, and to Die is Gain. Throughout history, people have made various statements that reflect, well, their philosophy of life. Someone once said, one day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it is worth watching. Robert Frost, the author, said in three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on. And Nathan Hale, the American patriot, said, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Now, these are just three of various statements that have been made and preserved and passed along because people thought that they were worth remembering. None of these statements that I just read, though, come even close to comparing what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, this is really Paul's philosophy of life. This is Paul's statement of faith. And although this statement was made, well, about 2,000 years ago, what Paul said then still applies today. Everyone here today who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should say that your philosophy of life comes down to this one quote, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, this isn't a Mother's Day message. Okay, I think you've probably picked up on that already. But it is a message that applies to mothers, fathers, children, to everybody who's here today. Because, again, as I said, we should all be able to say that we live for Christ and to die is gain. So with that in mind, there's only two things that I'm going to bring out this message. It's from verse 21, very easy to follow, a very simple outline. And this is, first of all, Paul's goal, and that is to live for Christ. And Paul's gain, where he says to die. So first of all, let's look at Paul's goal. He says, for me to live is Christ. Now let me begin by asking you a very important question. And that question is this, what are you living for? What are you living for? Or let me ask it another way, what is your life? Now, if you were to go out and ask people on the street that question, I'm sure that you would get a variety of answers. For example, someone might say, I live for my family. My family is my life. My family is my focus. Life would not be worth living if it wasn't for my family. Someone else might say, I live for my job. I spend more time on my job than anything else during the week. I love my job. My life is my job. Someone might say, I live to play sports. Whether it's football, basketball, or whatever it is, my life is that sport. And I don't know what I would do if I could no longer play that sport. Which is why a lot of professional athletes have such a hard time retiring. Because after they can't play anymore, they don't know what they're going to do. Because their life is consumed by that thing. Some people say, my life is pleasure. I just go from one pleasure after another. But we know the problem with that is that the pleasures of this world don't satisfy. And they're never satisfied. But you see, there is nothing wrong with family, with having a job, with a professional athlete playing and getting paid, especially when we think about how much money they make to get to play. But what happens when those things are taken away? What happens when someone in the family that you cherish so much, that was your life, has been taken from you? What happens when your job, you lose your job, or you get to the point where you can't do the job anymore, and you're old and you have to retire? What happens when these things occur? Then what do you have to live for? See, that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. And that's what I want to ask you today. What is it that you are living for? Well, the Apostle Paul says here, I live for Christ. For me to live is Christ. He is what makes my life worth living. Can you say that today? Can you say, for me to live is Christ? Christ is the focus of my life. If it wasn't for Christ, life would be without any meaning. I ask you today, can you say what Paul says here? Now, some people say, yes, Jesus is my life on Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11:30. Yeah, he's my life while I'm here. But what happens when you're not here? What happens Monday through Saturday the rest of the week? You just go about doing the other things that you want to do? Your focus is on something else? It shouldn't be. As a follower of Christ, he should be your focus. He should be your life 7 days a week. And I hope that you can say that. Now, this verse that we're looking at this morning goes together with Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. So if you would, just turn back just a few pages to the book of Galatians. And I want you to look at chapter 2 and verse 20 and think about that in regard to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul also speaking. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul made this statement early in his ministry. And now, as we get to the end of his ministry, we see him saying basically the same thing, just in a different way. For me to live is Christ, meaning Christ is my life. Which means from the beginning of his Christian life until really the end, his focus hasn't changed a bit. He started with Christ, and he's going to end with Christ. He started by saying Christ is the focus of my life and ministry, and he ends his life by saying exactly the same thing. Now, we have to keep in mind as we look here in Philippians chapter 1 that Paul is writing to these people in the church at Philippi. And Paul is in prison. He's in jail. The church at Philippi is very much concerned about the Apostle Paul. What's going to happen to Paul now? Is his life going to be taken from him? Is he going to die? And they knew that was a strong possibility. In fact, go back and let's again look at verses 19 and 20. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You see, at this point, Paul doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He doesn't know if he's going to live, and he doesn't know if he is going to die. But you know what? Either way, Paul says, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay if I live or if I die. Because that's why he says what he says in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul says, I win either way. Now I ask you today, can you say that? Let's be honest here now. Can you say that? If I live, fine, I'm living for Christ. If I die, that's even better because to die is gain. Can you say that today? I want everybody who's here today to be able to say that when you leave here when the service is over. I want that to be your philosophy of life, to say what Paul says here. Now, we also have to remember, don't make Paul to be something other than what he is. Okay? Don't put Paul up on a pedestal and say, now, Paul is different, though. He is some super Christian. He's different than all the rest of us. He's the Apostle Paul. And we are just, well, we're really nobody. Yeah, Paul can say that. That can be his philosophy. But not you and I who are here today. Don't you think that for a second. Because what was true of the Apostle Paul can also be true of every one of us who are here today. And it should be true of us. Especially if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does he mean when he says, for me to live is Christ? Just what does that mean? Well, I think first of all, it means that he has placed his faith in Christ. Christ is the giver of life. He's the author of his life. You see, all believers, all of us, we have two lives. We have a physical life and we have a spiritual life. I think we've got that. I think we're pretty clear on that. Physical life and you have spiritual life. All of us who have spiritual life, we have it because we've experienced what the Bible calls the new birth, being born again, being regenerated. And because of that, we have a new nature, we have new life, we are a new creation, and all of this, understand, is due to Jesus Christ. Our physical life, we owe to Him. Our spiritual life, we owe to Him. Now, how do we get this life? Or how do we know that we have this spiritual life? By faith. Faith is the evidence that we've been born again. We, by faith, look to Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. We see Christ as our only hope of salvation. And we put our faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. His death on the cross is what pays for our sin and makes us acceptable unto God. We've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption. That means that we've been purchased. Peter says, you've not been purchased with silver or gold, but with what? The precious blood of Christ. You know what that means? That means if you're saved, that means you've been purchased by Christ. And you belong to Him. He paid your sin debt, and you owe your life to Him. So when Paul says to live is Christ, that's exactly what he's saying. But that's not all that he's saying. He also means that he enjoys fellowship with Christ. If you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4. 1 John chapter 1. We've just gone through John. Going to finish John up, Lord willing, next Sunday. But we started John by looking at these verses. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. When we believe in Christ, when we put our faith and trust in Him, then we are then able then to have fellowship with Him, communion with Him. And when we do that, you know what that leads to? What John says in verse 4, it leads to joy. We know Him, we have fellowship with Him, and we rejoice. We're filled with joy. You see, not only does the Lord save us, not only does He forgive us of our sins, but He also has done that in order for us to have fellowship with Him, communion with Him, this special relationship with Him. That's what it means to live for Christ, that we have fellowship with Him. Now, someone might say, but I don't have this joy that you're talking about. What's the problem? The problem might be, and probably is, you're not enjoying fellowship with Him. In other words, you're not spending any time, any quality time with Him. You say, but I'm active. I'm faithfully serving the Lord. I do all kinds of things at the church. I do all kinds of things to serve the Lord. That's okay. But are you enjoying fellowship with Him? You see, all the activity in the world doesn't mean that you are going to be close to the Lord, that you're going to have this intimate relationship with Him. There are a lot of people that are very busy, but they have no communion with Christ. Let me give you an example, that one that we all know of, Mary and Martha, two friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the story of how Mary was doing what? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha was busy in the kitchen preparing the food. But Jesus, what did He do? He rebuked Martha because she wasn't doing what she needed to do. And that was what? Sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, he thought it was more important for someone to sit at His feet and just have time with Him and fellowship with Him than to be serving and doing something that was worthwhile. So let me ask you, are you enjoying fellowship with Him? Are you enjoying communion with Him? You know what? Even preachers, we can be guilty of this. We can be guilty of reading our Bibles only for the purpose of preparing a sermon. But even as preachers, we need to make sure we're spending time every day, not in preparation for what we're going to preach on that week, just spending time with the Lord, reading His Word and praying and just having communion with Him. You see, that's what it means to live for Christ. When Paul says to live is Christ, he means to enjoy this relationship that I have with Him. But there's also a third thing that's involved here, and that is, it means to follow the Lord. Now, when Jesus called His disciples, He called them to do what? Follow Me. Follow Me. Which meant, forsake your sin, forsake all of your personal goals and ambitions, follow Me and do what I want you to do. Die to self and come to Me. Now, you might be thinking, well, just wait a minute now. Doesn't that contradict what you just said? Because you just talked about the importance of fellowship. And we can serve and still not enjoy fellowship. And now you're telling us that we need to be faithful to follow Him, to serve Him. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm not contradicting myself. But we need to understand that our fellowship with Him, our communion with Him, our relationship with Him is what leads us then to go forth and to serve Him. See, don't get it mixed around. Don't try to serve, and then if you have a little bit of time, try to have some fellowship with Him. No. The fellowship is what's important. The service flows out of that fellowship. And that's what we all need to understand. What did Jesus come to do? He came to call sinners. To call sinners unto Himself. He came to tell people that there's only one way of salvation. And how is that? Through Me. I am the way. The only way you can be saved is by looking to Me. And you and I, as we follow Him, what do? We go forth and we tell people, your only hope of salvation is not in what you do, it's in Jesus Christ and what He has done on your behalf. That's what it means to follow Him. Do you realize that's the reason why we're here? Do you realize today that's the reason why you're here? It's not so you can have fellowship, because if it's just about fellowship, the Lord would take us into heaven, because our fellowship is going to be better there than it is here, right? So the reason you're here is so that you can go forth and proclaim Christ and tell others of what He has done on your behalf. You know, a lot of times people say, why am I here? Christian people, I hear them say, why am I here? Why does the Lord leave me here? Because He has a purpose. And that purpose is so you'll follow Him and go forth and make His name known. So I ask you this morning, who are you living for? What is your life? Can you say the goal of your life is what Paul says? For me to live is Christ. That's a searching question, isn't it? To live is Christ. That's what my life is. It's not my family. It's not my job. It's not all the other things that we do. It comes down to Christ. Because all the other things, as I said, they can all be taken away. So it is Christ. And then secondly, Paul's gain. He says, for me to live is Christ. And then what? To die is gain. To live for Christ, that's good. That's great. But to die is even better. Look at what he says in verse 23 and 24. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, I'm torn, because I really want to go and I want to be with Christ. That's better. But I also realize for me to stay here is going to be more profitable for you, because I can continue to minister to you and serve you in that way. But again, he says, but if I had my choice in the matter, I'd rather die and to go and to be with Christ. Now, understand, when you look at verse 21, Paul doesn't say, for me to live is a loss and to die is gain. We're not talking here about loss and gain. What he says is, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is to have more of Christ. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. To live is Christ. That's good. But to die, it's even better, because that means I get more of Christ. Now, who talks like that today? I mean, really, who talks that way today? How often do you hear people talking like that today? Not very often, because this is completely opposite of the way the world thinks. Because the world is doing all they can to hold on to their dear old life, because they don't know what is beyond this life. But Paul says, to die is far better. So I want you all to be able to say that today. I want me to be able to say that. And not just say it, I want to mean it. To die is better. Now, how... Well, let me say this. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is no respecter of persons, and we know that. Because death can come upon a little child, or it can come upon somebody who's 100 years old. So death is no respecter of persons, and it is an appointment that we will one day keep, unless the Lord returns. But the problem is we don't know when that appointment is going to come or where it's going to come. All we know is it is going to come. That's why Moses in Psalms 90 and verse 12 says, to teach us to number our days. You know what that means? That just means that we only have so many days to live in this world. And we need to number them. We need to take advantage of them. And that's true of all of us here. We only have so much time to live in this world. And we need to realize that fact. Now, the problem, though, when it comes to death, Paul says it's a benefit. But the unbeliever says, no, that's not true. And the sad thing is, a lot of Christians don't even think that as well. Because you bring up the subject of death, and even a lot of Christians say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. No. Talk about something else. And you're a weirdo. You're morbid talking about death. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about something that's more cheering, something that makes me feel more comfortable. Well, you know what? We can ignore the subject. We can do that and hope that it goes away, but it's not. In fact, you might be sitting there thinking right now, I came here this morning to hear him preach about mothers. You know, this is Mother's Day. I came to hear a sermon on mothers and a godly mother and the importance of that. And you're talking about dying? What's wrong with you? Don't you know what's going on? But you know what? The fact that you're going to die one day and you need to be prepared for that, that's more important than having a godly mother or being a godly mother. You see, you can have a godly mother or you can be a godly mother. That doesn't guarantee you're going to go to heaven when you die. You see, the important thing is to realize you're going to die and you need to be prepared for that day. And that's only by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So when Paul says here, this statement that makes no sense, to die is gain, just exactly what does he mean? How is death gain when it's something that everybody's trying to avoid all the time and not talk about? Well, first of all, it's gain because it means freedom from sin. It means freedom from sin. You see, the unsaved person doesn't desire that. The unsaved loves their sin. But those who are saved, those who are truly saved, look forward to the time when they will be free from sin. We will be set free. Death to the child of God means complete freedom. Not only freedom from sin, but freedom from the consequences of sin, which are suffering, pain, and even death itself. So I ask you this morning, are you looking forward to the day when you will no longer have a problem with sin? Thank you. I'm sitting there and nobody says amen to that. I'm looking forward to that day. I am tired of this old flesh and the battle with this flesh and a battle with the sins that we commit that we don't want to do. But one of these days, that battle is going to be over. We're going to be free from sin. And that's only going to come about when we leave this world. It also means likeness to Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, not only will we be free from sin, but we also are going to be like Christ. I can't even begin to imagine what that's going to be like, to be like Christ, to be righteous as Christ is righteous. to be able to know things. Today, we know in part, but then we're going to know things as they truly are. We'll have a better knowledge because we'll be like Christ. We'll be like Christ in our love. You know, how often today is our love, well, let's be honest, most of the time it's mixed with selfishness and self-centeredness. But when we die and when we go to be with Christ, we're going to be able to love just as He loved. I'll be able to love every one of you the way that Christ loves. Not in a selfish way, in a self-centered way. But it also means, and this is the real biggie, we are going to be in His presence forever. Forever. Now, I think that's the greatest benefit of all, to be with Christ forever. You know, sometimes Christians are guilty of looking at death as nothing more than an escape from the pain and suffering that they're going through. Now, I don't mean to undermine those who go through a lot of suffering and pain. I understand that. But if your only reason for wanting to die is to escape that pain and suffering you're going through, I would tell you that is not honoring to the Lord. The only reason you want to die is so that you won't have to go through your pain and suffering anymore? No. The reason why death is gain is because we will be with Christ and we will see Him as He is. You see, an unbeliever a lot of times looks at death as an escape. I mean, how often do you hear someone say of someone who had been in a lot of pain and suffering, well, at least they're not suffering any longer. And that person made no profession of faith. They gave no indication of being a believer in Christ. But their response is, well, at least they don't have to go through any more pain and suffering. Yeah, really. Because they don't realize, do they, that the suffering and pain that they endured in this life is nothing compared to what they're going to face in eternity. So they're not escaping anything. So we look at Christ and we see to die is gain, because it means that we will be with Him and enjoy fellowship with Him, and this is going to last how long? Forever. Forever in His presence. I want you to look at verse 23. We're about ready to close. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." The word "depart" there is an interesting word. It carries a lot of different ideas here. Sometimes it's used as referring to a ship that's anchored in the dock, tied to the dock, and then the anchor is lifted, the ship is untied, and it's ready to sail to its destination. That's what death is to the believer. We're untied from this world, and we're set sail to go to our true destination. Or it's sometimes used in reference to a tent. You know, someone who has been camping, and they take up their camp, they take up their tent, and they're ready to move on in their journey, move on to their next destination. Isn't that what Israel did for 40 years in the wilderness? They wandered around in the wilderness. They didn't build homes. They didn't set up and permanently live. No, they lived in tents because they moved from one place to another. Until what? Until God brought them into the promised land. And then they were able to set up a home. They didn't have to live in tents any longer because they had a home to live in. They had a permanent place to live. For those of us who die in the Lord, that's exactly the way it is. These old tents are taken down and we go to our true home where we will live forever and ever and ever. See, often Christians, we're afraid to do certain things in this life because of the risk to our life that is involved. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm just about finished here. And I'm speaking to me as much as I'm speaking to you. In fact, I've been doing this through the whole message, but especially right now. A lot of times we don't do things simply because there might be a danger to our life. Whether it's going to the foreign field, to the mission field, maybe to a very dangerous place where your life might be at risk. And our response is, well, I can't go there because it's dangerous there. I might lose my life. We think about all the great missionaries who went out. I think of a guy like Jim Elliot and those four other men that went to Ecuador with him in the early 1950s. And they went to those people knowing full well that their life was at risk. Those people had killed everybody who tried to come in and tried to have any contact with them. But these men went because they wanted to take the gospel to these people, knowing the risk. You know what happened to them? We know the story, or we should know it. All five were brutally killed by these Indians there in Ecuador. Now, how can they do that? Because Jim Elliot knew what Christ, or what Paul is saying here in Philippians. For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? It's gain. So a lot of times, why are we so determined to hold on to these lives when we know that death is gain? Or let me give you a very simple illustration, and this really applies to me. I'll be honest with you. We see somebody walking down the road with the thumb out, and we just drive right on by. That person needs a ride. But you know what? If I pull over and pick them up, this guy might be a serial killer. And he might kill me or harm me in some way. So I'm just going to drive on down the road. Shame, 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 shame on me. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting my life and saying there might be a risk here involved. If I really believe what Paul says here, to live is Christ and to die is gain, then if this guy kills me, that's gain. Because that means then I go into the presence of the Lord. Am I just talking to myself, or am I talking to everybody here today? Do we understand this? See, we hold on to these lives so much that we don't really understand what Paul says. Because we read this verse and say, that's a good philosophy. That's a good way of looking at life. That's the way we should look at life. But then, do we actually put it into practice? Do we put it into practice? Do you go out into the world, and do you put that into practice? Well, as we close, the only person who can really say to die is gain is the person who first of all says to live is Christ. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10, Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." There's only one problem with that. Before you can die the death of the righteous, you first of all have to live the life of the righteous. If we're going to say to die is gain, friends, we have to say to live is Christ. So I ask you today, can you say that? Can you truly say, for me, to live is Christ, and to die, that's even better because that means to have more of Christ. It's a benefit. Can you today, can you say that? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Are you living for Christ? If you are, then when we die, we have to realize it's a benefit. It's a gain. So I pray that if you're here today and you don't know Christ, that something's been said during the course of the message that's made you realize that and made you see your need of a Savior and you put your faith and trust in Him. Let us pray. Father, we just come to You now in prayer, just asking Your blessings upon us. Father, I pray that every single person here in this auditorium can say what the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I pray, Father, that as we leave here today, that we will put that into practice in the way that we go about our daily lives. I ask, Father, if there's one here today who does not know You, that they have seen their need and put their faith and trust in You. And so, Father, I just pray that You'll bless us now as we bring this service to a close. And we do ask all this in Christ's own precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Darwin and Sister Brenda if you'll come forward. And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing to give you the opportunity that if the Lord has saved you, then you can come and you can let everybody know that so we can rejoice in that good news. Or if you have another reason for coming, then we'll give you the opportunity to do so as we sing this hymn.